Hi, this is Barry Lissett Informs, the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. Operations research, business intelligence, and analytics were once seen as highly technical fields that had little to do with the way that American business worked. That's changed in part thanks to analysts at major firms who began recommending that companies begin using sophisticated math to grow. In today's segment, we talk to Bill Hostman, a vice president and distinguished analyst at Gartner. Bill is an expert in business intelligence, or BI, and related fields, and he's been speaking recently about BI competencies and foundations. Bill, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thank you, Barry.
Maybe we should start out with the basics. How do you define business intelligence, and how do you contrast it with analytics and perhaps even with operations research?
That's a really good question, Barry. At the very highest level, I think about business intelligence as the ability to exploit information and information patterns to make better decisions. And it basically means looking at information and those information patterns and asking and answering questions like what happened and why did it happen and what is likely to happen in the future and what should happen in the future. Answering those questions allows managers and what I call thinkers and deciders inside of organizations to make better decisions. It also allows for strategy and business process to better adapt and evolve to meet the changing business environments and operational environments. And so when we look at business intelligence has really provided the technology platform for answering those questions and building those analytic applications on top and employing those mathematical modeling and statistical analysis and mathematical optimization techniques often found in operations research.
I thought we might start out by looking at some best cases, and I understand that there is a BI Excellence Award. Can you give a couple examples from the awards of BI that are being used especially well, some that might help business people understand what BI is?
You bet. There's a couple of them that are particularly interesting, and they kind of fall into two major categories in terms of driving business outcomes. The first is driving higher business agility and scale. This means taking a complex business process and improving it, improving its performance, improving its agility and its ability to scale. A couple of really good examples there. One is UniCredit. It's been acquired now by Hypo Vereinsbank, but they were able to take multiple information sources, some 78 information sources, and marry that with their economic model of their mortgage as well as their bond investment portfolio and be able to make balances and changes to that portfolio at the trading desks on a daily basis. They could actually have the economists come in the morning and look at the economic conditions, both internal as well as within the market itself, and make recommendations to their trading model and their risk model and their portfolio model, and then deploy that out to their traders within 4 hours. So here's much better business agility and scale because they could shorten the time between modeling and external changes, modeling and adapting their business to that environment. So a very, very good example. That was a very sophisticated business intelligence application as well because they had to be able to take and identify those information patterns, identify the models, and train the users how to incorporate those new models in very complex portfolio decision-making problems and be able to do that within a four-hour cycle. So that was one of the winners. Big, significant impact there. Another one that maybe is a little bit more practical and more sort of like common that we see is, really about strategic business transformation. AstraZeneca, a pharmaceutical company in the UK, had the problem where they had a set of sales processes. they had a set of supply chain processes and they had a set of financial closing processes. And they had different ways of modeling the business, analyzing the business, forecasting the business, and then making decisions in order to adapt the business to the changing business requirements. So this was really about strategic business transformation here, about, you know, process changes across multiple business functions. What they had to do was, you know, figure out what are the common models, what is the common analysis, what are our common vocabularies, you know, how do we get together to collaborate and decide what the common performance measures are. And that took a very large BI initiative to be able to do that, to get the data sources in place, to get the information in place, to get the models in place, to get the analysis in place, so that the finance people, the supply chain people, and the sales people could all agree that this was the right model, and this was the right set of questions and answers to run the business. So they were, you know, because of that, they both got better visibility across some very, very complex decisions, but as a result, they also improved their performance across the different business processes. And I think what's interesting is there's a big cultural aspect of this, which I think is an important one to focus on. By providing visibility into these decisions and the analysis and these performance metrics across all the thinkers and deciders in this very complex business process and set of decisions, where it originally was very hesitant. A lot of the managers didn't want to have that, you know, level of analysis, that level of visibility into performance.
Because they found it too daunting.
They thought it was too daunting, and they also were concerned that it would show their lack of performance.
Ah.
So they actually were hesitant about showing it. Well, what ended up happening is once they got common vocabulary, common performance measures, and everybody got to see each other's performance measures, they started looking at it and saying, wow, I'm, you know, really making different decisions than you are, because I'm looking at that performance measure entirely differently. And then they also said, how are you getting that higher performance over there?
So they went from being defensive to being collaborative, doing teamwork.
Exactly.
Well, that's a great story.
Yeah.
I don't want to go away from examples without mentioning Harrah's, because it comes up so often. Did you want to say a word or two about how the large casino empire uses BI?
Well, I think there it's back to that cultural issue. You've got a CEO that says, I want to have us, you know, form an experiment. If we believe that we have these rules of thumb that we use to manage our business, I want to validate that. I want to go and ask, is this in fact truly the case? You know, we can run some experiments, we can create some models, and we can validate that in fact our assumptions are correct. And when we're thinking about sort of new opportunities, we can do some testing. We can do some experimentation. So the CEO is driving this thinking about, let's go off and look at the people, process, and the tools and technologies and analysis that we need to put together to go and validate this assumption and go, you know, experiment a bit. So that's a real cultural issue. Another very good example in sort of the public service domain is the City of Richmond Police Department, where the new chief...
Is that Richmond, Virginia?
That's correct. Richmond, Virginia. The chief of police, Rodney Monroe, came to the City of Richmond and said, I've got all kinds of information and rules of thumb about how we manage this department, but apparently we don't have the right ones because we have one of the, you know, least safe cities in the United States. So I'm going to start challenging all these assumptions, and I want to analyze and I want to validate and I want to run some experiments about these rules of thumb that we use for managing the police department. That same sort of cultural model from the top down drove them to experimentation and actually repudiating a lot of the rules of thumbs about, you know, where the high crime rates were, what were the leading indicators of crime. They rethought their model of staffing, and they've actually now moved up out of the bottom quartile of least safest cities. So there's an example of, you know, again, cultural leadership tied with, you know, sophisticated, you know, mathematical science and business intelligence applications really driving some strategic transformation.
One of our recent guests was an expert in data mining who uses that technique specifically in online marketing. More broadly, how should companies using BI take a step up by using data mining and predictive analytics? And by the way, we should give some definitions so that our listeners don't get lost in the terminology.
Sure. I mean, when I think about data mining and the way we have discussions with our clients, we talk about answering, you know, the question of why did it happen? In other words, what are the relationships? What are the factors in the information that lead us to being able to make, you know, correlations between different things and different associations, and also be able to model the occurrence of those events or those facets? And I think that's an important part of sort of the analytic continuum of what happened and why did it happen, so that we can go from those data mining models and actually then create predictive models. So I think, you know, that's the way we have discussions with our clients, and we talk about the methods and tools, you know, of data mining and predictive analytics and how they fit into this overall analytic continuum. Now, I think they're important, and they're a pretty key aspect, but I also find there's a place where there aren't a lot of competencies in this particular area. So we have, you know, organizations that have very, very large data sets, very big data sets, very, very complex problems, and yet they don't understand the methodology. And I find this very interesting. They get sort of hung up on the mathematics of it, and they don't really get to understanding the notion of the validation of the model, and then the operationalization of the model. In other words, putting it into the thinkers and deciders' hands.
So it's almost a translation problem between your technologist and the business person.
It very much is. And this is something that we talk about quite a bit inside of Gartner. We talk about the notion of the program management needing to look at all aspects of the people and the analytical processes and the technology together and do it in the context of the business outcomes and the performance measures. Those things together have to be tied. And if they're not, then what we find is an overinvestment in the technology and maybe even an over-engineering of the analytic applications and a lower return on investment.
Now, you speak frequently to groups about BI. Explain what you like to call the cornerstones of maximizing business value by using BI.
There's a couple of real key cornerstones. And I would say there's a couple of observations I'll start with and then kind of translate that up into a framework.
Okay.
I think the first thing is that you know, you almost have to look at your organization and ask, is information an asset inside our organization? Or is it sort of a second or a third or worse, a citizen inside the organization? In other words, does your organization recognize that data has business value? That's an important sort of, you know, question that needs to be answered. And then the second thing is does our company really understand how to go about using information to be collaborative and proactive in our problem solving? Or are we very parochial and reactive in our problem solving? So this notion about information as an asset and then sort of information anarchy versus collaboration is an important observation that we see that has to be addressed.
Anarchy, that's an important way of looking at things because we know that frequently the right data is not captured, as technicians like to say.
It's not captured, or it's captured in a form that doesn't mean anything to other users in the organization who you're trying to influence to make a decision. In other words, it's not relevant to them in the form that you're presenting it to them.
Now, BI requires an investment, of course. What are the top things that drive investment in BI?
Well, so there's really four things that I see. One is there's an easy one, which is we want to lower the cost of ownership of these modeling and analysis technologies and techniques, right? So that's one, which is what we want to do is we want to get our arms around all of these different sort of silos of information and analysis inside the company and manage it more effectively. So that's a big driver. That is still a very big driver inside of organizations, this notion of lowering the cost of ownership of these technology platforms. So, you know, if we can consolidate and standardize, reduce the cost in terms of the skills across all of these different technologies, great. That's one big driver. The second big driver I find is, you know, sort of the getting information economies of scale. In other words, getting more users and new users on the system so that they can, you know, be more self-service in terms of getting at the information and analysis and more information and more analysis on a more timely basis. That's kind of the second big driver. Then we get into the other topics that we talked about, which is, you know, increasing a business agility and scale, you know, to improve and speed up decision-making ability. I think it's that is, in fact, the number one driver when we ask people, what is the big thing that's, you know, pushing you to make a big investment in BI, BI technology, BI platforms? It's always, and 71% of the respondents say, to speed up and improve decision-making ability. 48% say to better align with and track against corporate strategy and objectives. In other words, those are those thinkers who are moving resources around to align them against corporate strategy and objectives. They need some kind of model. They need some kind of analysis. They need some sort of way to maximize, you know, their decisions about their resources against corporate strategy and objectives. So about 48% indicate that.
You've mentioned that the value of BI investments depends on the company's ability to interpret results and take action. How does a company increase that ability?
You know, I think one of the most important aspects of any one of these kinds of analytic applications is really framing up the question. What is the question that, from a business perspective, that we're looking to answer? What is the hypothesis? You know, what is the clear statement in terms of business impact of, if we answer these questions, this is how we're going to improve our business? So that's a really important focus area. I find a lot of times we get so interested in the mathematics, we forget to really define that business question. And the way that I find to focus the discussion around those business questions is to start with key performance indicators. Mm-hmm. And these key performance indicators are the measures of the business outcomes that we want to realize. And these key performance indicators could be at the corporate level, they could be at the business unit level, they could be at the business function level, they could be at the business operations level. But when you start with that KPI, now you say, all right, what is the analysis and information that those thinkers and deciders need in order to really achieve that key performance indicator?
What's the Gartner BI Analytics and Performance Management Framework, and how is it used?
So the framework is really sort of the foundation underneath these key performance metrics that translate the who are the people involved in making decisions about those performance metrics, what are the analytical processes that they need to answer the questions around, you know, what happened, why did it happen, what will happen relative to those performance metrics. So it's a model of the business processes. And then it's the inventory of the technologies that are necessary to be able to deliver those decision processes, analytical processes, and information infrastructure processes combined. On the bookends of our framework is program management. And program management is responsible for putting down the technology blueprint, the timeline, defining the standards, making it fit within the overall enterprise architecture, the technical reference architecture, matching up the business, you know, objectives against the constraints, developing the application, deploying it, transferring the competencies to the users. That's the program management that's so essential that we see to make these initiatives successful. The other end of the book, the other bookend of the framework is really the metadata and the services repositories necessary to tie these technologies together. When we go back to that UniCredit Hypovarensbank example, you know, they had a set of metadata models that drove changes to the information infrastructure, to the BI capabilities, to their analytic applications, and they never got in and actually changed the code themselves. They had a set of metadata and services repositories that did that. So on the top of our framework, we've got our key performance indicators, which are the operational objectives and measures. We've got our pillars of people, process, tools, and technologies, and then we have our two bookends on the two ends, which is program management, and on the other end is the metadata and service repositories. All those pieces are necessary to integrate and align to deliver successful BI capabilities, analytic applications. And the reason why we call it the BI Analytics and Performance Management Framework is that these words get used interchangeably often in our discussions with our clients. The words business intelligence and analytics get used interchangeably. the words performance management. That's commonly found inside a CFO's organization where they're looking at different kinds of performance metrics. There may be a marketing organization that's looking at a set of marketing performance metrics, but it's important to understand, you know, that top-level set of key performance metrics, which really create the top of the pyramid in terms of the framework.
Informs, which sponsors these podcasts, once launched a campaign that warned managers not to make decisions by the seat of the pants or by the gut, to use a couple expressions for intuition. You've emphasized the importance of not following your nose on BI and instead planning a careful strategy. What are you getting at there?
If you take and say your BI strategy, is completed, and I take a look at it, and what you have right in the middle of your your strategy is some vendor's name or some technology name, we'll come back and say, I don't think that's a good strategy, because that's a technology. And really, a good strategy thinks about all these different pieces, that program management, the users, how they're using it, in the context of a decision, of a well-formed question that's going to drive some key performance metric, and then the technology fits into that. So that strategy talks about how are we going to go from our current level of maturity in terms of how we use analysis, how we use information, and we have a maturity model where we rate companies from level 1 through 5, level 1 being completely unaware, you know, level 2 to being sort of opportunistic, level 3 being, you know, standards-based, where they have tools, they have technology, they have skills, level 4 being where it's really an enterprise-wide set of initiatives, and level 5 is it's transformative. It's transforming the strategy of the company. You know, information drives the strategy, strategy drives the information, and it's also driving transformation of the industry. In other words, your industry peers are looking at you and saying, I want to be able to do what they're doing. So when you talk about a strategy, to me it should be saying, here's our current state of how we use information and analysis to drive decisions and performance inside our organization. Here's the future state, the next level that we want to be, and here are the gaps that we have to close. That's a BI strategy. To put a tool there, that's a technology strategy, and is extremely short-sighted.
That kind of leads on to the next phase, the 10 fatal flaws in business intelligence. Fatal flaws are tragic when it comes to actual mortality, but they're ruinous for companies working with new technologies. Can you mention your 10, or at least the most important fatal flaws to avoid in BI?
A couple of them that I think are important is one that we call believing that if you build it, they will come. And this is where, kind of starting back with the previous conversation about, you know, I have a technology roadmap, and if I build an application on top of that technology roadmap, that they're going to come and use it. That's a big fatal flaw. Another fatal flaw is sort of that cultural aspect that we talked about that was so important at Harrah's and the City of Richmond Police Department, where there was cultural sponsorship. The fatal flaw, sort of the counter to that, you know, high-level sponsorship is managers, what I call dancing with their numbers. In other words, there's a culture of the numbers really don't count. It's more about how you spin the numbers that counts, which is, again, a cultural issue. And that can be really prevalent inside of some organizations. Another one that I think is absolutely critical, is the data quality issue. Garbage in, garbage out. And that's why I think it's so important to couch things like, you know, predictive analytics and data mining on solid foundations of being able to answer questions like the very simple stuff. What happened in the past? Do we even have a really good snapshot and a clear, accurate, consistent, and timely snapshot of what happened in the past? If we don't, we probably have data quality problems, much more so than we have sort of mathematical modeling or statistical analysis problems. We probably have data quality problems. And so that is probably one of the big ones that we see. I think another one is that these applications, once deployed, we're done with them. That they're sort of like any other kind of business application where, you know, we build them and then we just optimize them for scale. Well, that's a flaw. These applications have to change. They evolve as business changes, as the performance measures change, as the users change, the requirements change. They have to be extremely evolutionary. This is about really shifting the model away from being about technology to shifting the model to being about business competencies. In other words, our business competencies require that we're always asking these questions, we're always asking new questions. You know, as we answer one question, we're going on to the next question. And as a result, these applications have to evolve. The skills have to evolve. So thinking that, you know, I can build it like any other IT application and that it's done is a real fatal flaw. Another one that we've seen is, you know, the one which is, let's just outsource this whole darn thing, right? I mean, let's just black box it and take it and send it outside.
Because people are afraid and they're not sure they know what they're doing.
They're not sure they know what they're doing. And it's a little bit of a, like, you know, my mess for less. Right, you know, if I've got a mess inside my organization, well, then let's just outsource it. You know, there's definitely a requirement for skills. There's no issue that this requires a lot of skills to be able to transfer those skills to the business users to make better decisions. Again, back to that competency focus. And that's where I find service providers can provide additional support. They can provide domain expertise about some of these very, very complex either key performance indicators or forecasts or mathematical models. That's a place where you can get a lot of skills. But to say we're going to take all of our analysis and we're going to move it outside and we're going to have some sort of service level agreement that will keep up with that highly evolutionary nature of these applications that I talked about just a minute ago, that can be problematic. So it's really important to understand, you know, how your information infrastructure, your analytic processes, and your decision processes work in concert with, you know, things outside the firewall or with service providers. And today it's a pretty small percentage that are sort of, you know, taking their entire BI initiative and moving it outside the firewall to a service provider. But they are using it in very sort of tactical ways to fill in the points. I think in the future, we're going to see the service providers get much more involved in this area. We're seeing a lot of the service providers skilling up, and they're also ramping up their marketing messages about their competencies and skills in this area. So I think it's going to be important for people to really understand what their strategy is, what their current state is, what the business outcomes are before they just jump to an outsourcing solution.
We only have time for one or two more questions, and this next question is connected to what you're saying in terms of trying to take shortcuts. I've heard a data mining professor dismiss the idea of a huge system-wide dashboard. In her case, she was talking about the idea of designing a simple set of analyses that the huge United States federal government could use. But you have a similar concern about dashboards, is that right?
Yes. I mean, right now there are a lot of CEOs or C-level executives that are saying, just give me a dashboard. You know, how can this be so hard? All I want to see is some dials and knobs. I don't want to know about the information infrastructure. I don't want to know about the data quality issues. I just want, you know, answers to my very basic questions. And unfortunately, what happens is that's a big oversimplification of the requirements that have to be brought together in order to make this work. As we talked earlier about the framework, we've got to look at, you know, the program management, the people, the analytic processes, the information infrastructure processes, complex tools and technologies, you know, the metadata and services necessary to tie that together to bring up a dashboard that gives you the insight to all those performance measures. So I think it's important to educate executives on what's required from both the skills, from a people, from a process and tools and technology perspective. Otherwise, they're going to get sort of the latest magazine advertisement, you know, idea that, hey, if I just go buy a tool that says it's a dashboard, I'm going to have answers to all my questions.
So they have to make a commitment and not be focusing on shortcuts.
Not be focused on shortcuts and not, back to that issue about BI strategy versus BI technology. This is about organizational competency. It's not about buying a technology.
Final question, can you talk a little bit about emerging technologies in the BI area?
Yeah, there's some really exciting areas that we're seeing. We're seeing a bunch of the collaborative technologies that are found, that are they're finding their way into portals, and just collaborative platforms in general being much more commonly used in decision modeling and decision-making processes. And so we think the tie-in together of BI capabilities and collaboration capabilities is going to become much more common. Another one that I see that's going to be interesting is the combination of search, where I don't have to do really structured queries. I can actually just use common search technologies and then do analysis on those results. I think that also ties to the need to be able to do very, very capable hypothesis testing, because typically search is on unstructured data of questionable data quality. And if you're going to go out and do analysis on that data, you better have some way to validate that. So I see the combination of search and BI and then also the ability to validate that data as a combination of technology trends that's coming up more and more. We're seeing the technology of in-memory persistence and in-memory data management taking over a lot of what used to be small data mart or, you know, low volume databases that we built and we had to go out and buy. We don't have to build those models and schemas anymore. We can actually take the data and bring it into a large 64-bit memory space and do some very, very complex associations and analysis directly in memory. So we can do that data mashup in memory. We don't have to build a database for those. That's going to really accelerate, you know, the development and deployment of applications, and I think user interest as well. And another one that's going to drive user interest is the whole notion of interactive visualization and discovery. There are so many new visualization capabilities that can be delivered as part of applications or across the web so that people can see the relationships between the data. They can actually see the results of the models and see the results of the analysis. And they're not going to look at them as columns. They're going to look at them as patterns, visual patterns. And they can see outliers, and they can ask, is that a data quality issue, or is that really a cluster, you know, that has some sort of unique characteristic that we ought to be going and looking at? So I think those are some of the things that are going to really take off. A couple other things where I see a lot of interest right now is, you know, tying analysis to business rules engines. As the speed and velocity of business changes, so does the speed and velocity of decisions. And as we do this analysis, it may not be possible to put a human there to be able to, you know, take the prescriptive action. And so we may want to actually embed that into some of the business rules engines and business process management engines so that they can be automated more effectively and get better sort of process optimization as a result. A couple other areas that we're seeing that are particularly interesting is text and speech analytics. You know, how do we do better jobs of tying the analysis of, you know, text and speech into our typical sort of quantitative and numerical analysis? How do we marry those two things together so we can look at things like social network conversations or call center logs, and maybe even, you know, doing some analysis to keep us out of legal trouble? How do we go about, you know, taking text and speech and putting it into our analytics portfolio? And then finally, perhaps, and this gets back to sort of, I just give me a dashboard fatal flaw we talked about, is we see more and more executives carrying mobile applications, whether it be on their smartphone or whether it be on their iPad. They want to have information and analysis at their point of decision. And so this notion of these applications being on the mobile device is a very significant trend that we see going on.
So no longer just a conversation or the kind of entertainment apps, but actual business apps that can be used on the road.
On the road, at the point of decision.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Bill Hostman of Gartner. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Barry.
And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more about operations research and the series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.